Welcome to Focus on Fuels, brought to you by StoneX. Your hosts are Trevor McClanahan, Risk Manager, and Alex Fodes, Director of Market Strategy from the StoneX Energy Desk. Alex and Trevor help fleet managers, fuel buyers, and energy procurement specialists gain control of fuel costs, boost margins, and keep their businesses competitive. Join them for another deep dive into the volatile energy markets.
Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Focus on Fuels. I'm Alex Hodes, your host, and I'm here with my co-host, Trevor McClanahan. How's it going, Trevor?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So a lot's been going on this start of this year, but really... there's been just kind of a few dominant headlines, and they are mostly with regards to tariffs and Trump. So let's start with kind of some of the T's that are driving this market. T.
Yeah. We've been talking about this for ad nauseum for the last couple of weeks, and it just continues to dominate the market's sentiment. So things have softened up a ton, and it has some good reasoning. The whole tariff concept has basically put the whole macro landscape into bearish sentiment. Looking at recessionary fears coming in, kind of dominating all commodity markets, and it makes sense. But it's just one of those things where you just kind of continue to monitor it, and there's nothing that's kind of really holding true, holding long term by any means, in my opinion.
Yeah. And so just for reference, we're recording on March 11th, 2025. So we had a pretty strong sell off in the middle of February. So we were trading up above $70 a barrel for quite a while. There was kind of a last push in the energy markets when there was that last cold front in February. And after that kind of exited the market, we were kind of in free fall for a little bit. We're sitting around $66 per barrel, $65 per barrel. So those are honestly pretty attractive prices when you zoom out and look at it. But it's hard to kind of step in when the fear of the market's kind of overtaken every headline. But when you look at it from kind of a supply-demand situation, I think still things to focus on are going to be Iran, OPEC, or any potential supply outages in the Middle East if any geopolitical tensions rise. But recently we've seen kind of some headlines of Ukraine and Russia kind of dominate as well. And this is, I think the market really is kind of running with these headlines. A lot of people are exiting the market. I saw today that we are near kind of some of the lower ends of volume. So in my mind, it seems like people are kind of stepping out of the market and trying to wait and see what the market has to tell us. Because in my mind, I don't foresee anything. If Ukraine and Russia come to some peace deal, I don't even think the removal of sanctions on Russia would do much with actually adding supply onto the market.
They're already, actually, I've seen a lot of reports that Russia's even taken better measures on avoiding the sanctions, and they're just doing a better job of, they're going to keep that pressure on, and that's their main war machine, right? So, they're doing everything they can to dodge them.
Yeah. And I think that's, originally when sanctions were placed on Russia, the thoughts were that all these barrels were going to come off the market, and we never really saw a substantial amount. It's really been kind of a redirecting of flows. But in other news, I guess more on the fundamental front, we're seeing kind of this divergence in crude oil and natural gas pricing. I think that's something pretty interesting because usually, I guess they become more correlated throughout the winter when a lot of the oil complex is seeing a lot of its fuels like propane and heating oil, that demand kind of coming from the heating side of things. And so I guess a divergence isn't totally outside the ordinary, but there are some other factors that we're seeing strength in European natural gas markets as well. And that's kind of trickling down to the massive expansion of LNG facilities and export capacity in the U.S. But right now, yeah, you're seeing propane kind of falling off. It stabilized a little bit. Heating oil fell off. But you're seeing nat gas just continue to rip. So I think that's something that's kind of interesting to look at.
Yeah, that seemed to be something at that conference in Houston that Chris Wright made a big point on and emphasized it. So that seems to be, you know, Trump's whole drill baby drill and just supporting the energy sector in general. You know, that whole lift is seems like the LNG space is probably where you know, oil and gas is getting most of the support right now.
Yeah, and I've heard kind of mixed reviews or kind of some input here is that utilizing natural gas, LNG, as almost like a marginal barrel in terms of assessing where demand is globally. So because there is some heat to gas switching, or I'm sorry, gas to heat switching and vice versa, there's kind of alternatives for power burn in the Middle East, natural gas. Ultimately, it's just a drive on energy demand totally as a whole. So when you're seeing kind of some fundamentals firm up on the LNG side, in my mind, I think it suggests that we're perhaps approaching a near-term bottom.
Yep.
Price action could be volatile still to the downside, but I don't think anything is going to kind of stick at that $50 per barrel. So I mean, the announcement of OPEC bringing barrels back to the market in April really kind of precipitated some of this fall.
Mm-hmm.
But with regards to volumes, that's only 130,000 barrels per day. So for those of you to kind of put that into perspective, there's 100 million barrels per day of supply and demand. So 100,000 barrels per day is just a drop in the bucket. Yeah. So it's kind of a lot of factors that, in my mind, could be kind of looked over with regards to this precipitous fall. So
yeah,
I'm thinking things might be able to firm up from here.
Yeah, and the statement that OPEC followed with that was basically saying, you know, we're going to continue to monitor the oil market and make decisions based off that. You know, they might have had a little bit of pressure from the Trump administration, and that could have played a little bit of a factor. But, you know, those Iranian barrels are expected to come off the market. Trump keeps continuing to add pressure to that. And, you know, it depends on how far they take that. But that's one thing that they've been successful in the past, as far as we've talked about how Russia's been able to avoid the sanctions. Iran's going to have more difficulty doing that. They don't have as much of an infrastructure built there, and where they can detour, you know, more than Russia can. So it's easier for the U.S. to enforce those sanctions. And then, you know, going back to OPEC's statement, it's, you know, to some degree that 138,000 is robbing Peter to pay Paul. You know, you're basically allowing the OPEC members that are not sanctioned to increase production and against whatever barrels you're taking off the market from Iran. So it's kind of a net zero effect. And maybe even extra barrels coming off the market, you know, from just those two standpoints.
Yeah, I think kind of it's more of a bullish risk than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, some of those OPEC barrels might mediate some of those lost barrels from Iran. But in the EIA's short-term energy outlook that they released today, I saw that they have changed kind of their expectations of Q2 to be a little bit tighter than they expected originally. And they attributed that to Iranian barrels being removed from the market and potentially Venezuelan barrels. So that's something that I need to dive into the data a little bit more so. But overall, I think, you know, when everybody is fearful, this is the time when you need to zoom out a little bit and zoom past the headlines. And that's what has me thinking that we're kind of approaching this kind of a short-term bottom here.
Yeah, from a demand standpoint too. I mean, obviously this macro landscape that we're in right now is alarming, but it is kind of self-deprecating to some degree from the Trump administration. I mean, they obviously have an agenda there, but the demand is based off whatever Trump's decisions are with tariffs. I mean, and the North American tariffs is the major one. That's going to, you know, have some demand destruction domestically. So, you know, that's something that we will have to monitor. But at the same time, that's something that's solvable pretty quickly if they do come to some sort of agreements. Now, that doesn't look great right now, but it could change extremely fast. We've seen that many times with this administration. And then Gunvor also came out and said that they are starting to see a slowdown in demand just globally. And Gunvor is a massive shipper of crude through the whole globe. So they're already starting to, if they are seeing those demand destruction, then that definitely shows that it's there and it's happening. But, you know, on the supply side, I see a lot of support. So it's kind of this back and forth and push and pull concept, if you will.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, on my standpoint, I think because those headlines are saying that they're seeing this demand, that's kind of when you start to see things turn. A lot of headlines are kind of, you know, have already been baked into the market itself, but it does appear that everybody's kind of waiting for the dust to settle on these tariffs before they move forward, and that alone could attribute some slowness to the economy, and maybe that's what we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. I know that everybody was kind of looking at that GDP nowcast measure that the Atlanta Fed puts out. That's where we saw kind of that large drop in two negative values for March. And then the market has kind of like freaked out after they saw that reading. There's been some labor data that's been a little bit bearish, suggesting that the labor market is loosening somewhat. Obviously, all the Doge stuff with regards to trimming employees and making more cuts. So those are all, you know, the opposite of stimulative for the environment. And that's kind of getting baked into the broader market as a whole. But through the longer term period, I don't think this price action in oil is going to kind of stay too long at this low levels, and there are just too many risks to the upside.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk. I wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, the break-even cost on the new wells. Do you want to talk on that point a little bit?
Yeah. So there have been several throughout the past several years, we've kind of continuously heard the same thing from the shale patch, is that people are focused more on kind of those higher productivity areas while reducing their costs as much as they possibly can, but not really focused on growth. And when you calculate basically the break-even of some of the major Permian producers, the break-evens for existing wells is around $30 per barrel range. But on the new wells, so that is if they're trying to expand and frack and get more production online from newer wells, that's closer to $62 per barrel. So that's one of those factors that kind of plays into the market having a kind of almost like a put on the market itself, along with OPEC's essentially they have a put as well on the market. So those two things in my mind kind of allow us to have a bottom in the market, to where if the prices go below that, we're not going to really see much growth at all on the margin, and that could support prices in and of itself. So I'm thinking that if we do see extended price action below that $60 per barrel, I mean, I'd be surprised we stay below that for too much longer. I'm thinking $65 per barrel right now is kind of the technical support. If it breaks below that, we could see a brief moment of kind of some technical selling, With regards to, there's option positioning, there's a lot more gamma positioning out there, which tends to increase volatility. So if it drops below that, we could see price moves downward, but I just don't believe that's going to stay at those levels for too much longer because of those fundamentals that are really driving the supply demand picture.
Yeah, and that's the main point I'm, you know, talking about with all my customers is, that's a pretty natural support level. There's really, really long-term support, at $65 a barrel. And to that point that you made, the 62 on all new wells, that cost is current on that. And, you know, when we continue to tariff, metals and, you know, also with this, the whole immigration side of things. And, if we're going to actually deport a lot of those people, that's going to, you know, affect the industrial sector more so than anything else. Obviously, labor costs are going to go up with mass immigration cutoffs there. And then also with the metals, Trump signed, I don't know if he signed it today, but he they were in talks with increasing the tariff from Canada on metals to 50%. So, you know, that's just going to add, you know, increase that 62% or $62 barrel crude. It could even bring it up, maybe not, you know, significantly by any means, but at least it may be $65 a barrel or 67, somewhere in that range. So there's no like the downside to that really, at least what we can see from here, on that break even. And, you know, that's going to definitely detour these producers to, and continue with their sentiment that they've had recently of, you know, paying dividends to investors and, you know, keeping cash flow strong.
Yeah. And I think, you know, on the, just to play devil's advocate there, the one point to where you'd see those costs go down is if we saw an outright recession.
Yep.
And I know there are calls for that right now, but thus far we're not really seeing it. And we kind of defer to some of more of our macro experts here at StoneX. And so they're not really seeing a huge risk of recession, but perhaps an economic slowdown. But that could be temporary because there are still just the factors with regards to kind of a tighter labor market for longer. It's more of a demographic question than anything. And so I think that we will just have a tighter labor market for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. And like Trevor said, if there's a reduction in the immigration, yeah, to the U.S., not even if there's, you know, mass deportations or not, it's on the margin. Are those changing one way or the other? And I believe we are in a more inflationary environment than we have been previously. So even if economic activity is slowing, I mean, that would be a still, you can still have inflation with economic activity contracting, but that's not really our base case. We're just kind of expecting more of a slowdown.
Yeah, I think that's the production level at break even at $60 a barrel. I think that's my main takeaway of this market right now. We could get in the 50s, like you said, from a technical perspective, and drop us in there for a short amount of time, maybe a month or so. I don't know that even happens. That would have to mean that we're pretty much staring recession right in the eyes. But even if we are in a recessionary period, you know, that would also probably mean that we're going to devalue the dollar even more, which is also bullish for commodities. So, yeah, it could just send crude even higher in a recessionary period. Less production, obviously, would probably come out of that as well. So it's going to balance that market out at some point.
Yeah, and I think that's probably all we have to talk about in today's episode. We would like to bring on kind of one of our experts to discuss a little bit more about propane in particular for the next winter and kind of just booking out for those that are looking at booking out propane for kind of longer periods of time. I think it'd be a good time to kind of look at that market and what the fundamentals are showing us in over that kind of long term. So We'd love to have you all join us for that, and we'll bring on a guest next time so you don't have to just hear Trevor and myself going back and forth and trying to not be I'm trying to always calm him down because he's a little bit more bulled up than myself at the time. But, you know, the more and more I talk about it, it seems that I'm kind of getting that level as well.
Sounds good. Yeah. We will be at Impact next month in April. That'll be in Indianapolis. So if you guys are interested, we will have a booth there. And if you guys are going to be there, then stop by. Other than that, do you have any reports?
We will also be at Sigma next month. This is that conference season as well. The Sigma will be in Phoenix. I will be speaking there, doing a outlook on the market. So you can kind of look at what we have to put out with regards to kind of market intelligence stuff, more of a quantitative presentation, kind of showing you how we're getting down to our forecasts and expectations of what's going on in the market. We'd love to meet up with you, and we'll see you there if you're in attendance. And thank you all for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Focus on Fuels podcast with Trevor McClanahan and Alex Hose, brought to you by StoneX, NASDAQ ticker SNEX, a global Fortune 100 financial services company with a century of commodities risk management experience. Subscribe to Focus on Fuels on your preferred podcasting platform. For insights on managing fuel and energy price volatility, and to sign up for the free StoneX Morning Energy Brief newsletter, email focusonfuels@stonex.com or visit www.stonex.com. Please feel free to rate, review, and share this episode with colleagues. Until next time.